Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Landon Seeley. I'm from the University of Saskatchewan in Canada. And so today I'm going to talk to you guys something a little bit different than what the rest of the day will hold for you guys. I'm going to show you a little bit of my research that I'm doing for my master's on quantifying cumulative effects of machine traffic and slash loading on aspen forest regeneration. So my research is being conducted at the Duck Mountain Provincial Park in Saskatchewan. This area is right on the border between the prairie ecozone and the boreal forest ecozone. And this park in particular is dominated by a tree species known as trembling aspen. Now this area is in a state of overmaturity, and as a result it's in a state of rapid decline. Trembling aspen rely on a disturbance cycle about every 100 years or so. And as a result, in this area, we haven't had a disturbance since the late 1800s, roughly. So as a result, aspen, they regenerate from their rooting system, and they require a disturbance to eliminate the above ground vegetation so that these suckers can then rise up from their roots. Unfortunately, without this disturbance, these roots cannot compete with the underground vegetation, and as therefore we aren't getting successful natural regeneration by itself. But luckily in this situation, harvesting can be used as a method to mimic this natural disturbance, and it creates conditions that are favorable for aspen suckering. Now unfortunately with harvesting, there are two factors that can kind of influence regeneration levels. One is the level of machine traffic. So as you increase machine traffic over an area, generally you will see decreased regeneration, as well as slash loading. Now this can be thought of as just debris or unusable timber that is just left in the block, so branches or rotting logs already. And with this, generally the more slash you have over an area, it can impede suckers from coming out of the soil, as well as it can influence the temperature of the soil, which is very critical for the regeneration process. But what really isn't known is whether or not there are cumulative effects between the level of slash and the level of traffic. So today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about whether UAVs and multispectral sensing can be used as a way to assess aspen regeneration. So the system we're using is just a DJI Phantom 4 with a Parrot Sequoia multispectral sensor. So the Sequoia has four individual bands: green, red, red edge, and near infrared. And then some of our flight parameters, we are flying at a height of 60 meters above ground level and had an overlap from side to side of 75% and a front and back of 60%. After images were taken, we processed them using Pix4D to stitch them and then as well perform radiometric corrections. And then from there, we imported it into ArcGIS, where we did a geocorrection using ground control points that we had laid out before the flight. And then we also used it to calculate several vegetation indices. So the ones that we were focused on were just NDVI, a green NDVI, a simple ratio, as well as an NDRE. So to test our hypothesis, we set up a CRD experiment with a 6x2 factorial design. So we had six different levels of machine traffic based on the number of passes over an area. So this here is an example of one of the maps that were generated. So this was developed using GPS units that were installed in the harvesting equipment. And at the end of the year, we collected it and processed it in ArcGIS to develop a map like this. Our next factor was slash. We had two different layers or levels based on the percent coverage. So percent coverage was determined by taking an RGB image prior to any green up from the vegetation. That way you have an unobstructed view of the slash itself. And then using just a supervised image classification, we were able to distinguish between what was forest floor and what was slash. And then from there, calculate out a percent area for a pixel size that would match, or a resolution that would match that of the traffic. So this created 12 different interaction levels between the two factors. And then at each of these 12 interaction levels, we had 8 replicate vegetation plots. And each vegetation plot was a meter by a meter quadrat. And within each quadrat, we measured several different aspen properties, such as density, height, root color diameter, leaf biomass, ammonium N, and leaf area index. Now, here's an example of an NDVI value that was created, or a map that was generated. And there's two things I wanted to point out here. As most of you can see, there's quite a large variation from a negative value almost all the way up to one. However, if I can get the mouse, this area here where it's really low, and then these little dots here, those are roads and slash piles. These were not included in our sampling area, nor were these areas of really high values, such as in the middle here or along the edge. These were areas that were not harvested, so they were still a full standing tree, and as a result gave us a really high NDVI response, which is pretty normal for something that has a very high leaf area index. So some of the results now. When we did our analysis of variance, we did not find that the overall NDVI or any indices value could detect an interaction effect, nor did it detect a slash effect on any of these. However, it did detect a significant influence of traffic on the overall indices value. And if we look a bit closer, for the NDVI value, we are seeing that by the time you're reaching 26 to 50 or 51 to 100 passes, we began to see a significant decrease in the overall value. Similarly with the green NDVI, however, in this case, it was only the 51 to 100 passes that showed a significant difference in the overall indices value, and as well with the NDRE, with the 51 to 100 being significantly different. Now, from these, one could make the argument that overall vegetation growth is most likely lower in these areas with higher traffic. However, this doesn't tell us anything about aspen specifically. Therefore, using correlation, we were able to match our NDVI or indices values with the aspen properties that we measured by hand. Unfortunately, as this table shows, we found very, very poor correlation with most of the indices and the aspen plots, with only a few of the indices actually showing correlation of about an R value of about 0.3. Now, the reason for such weak correlation is most likely due to the fact that this isn't a monocultural system. In a natural forest, it's not just aspen that's coming back. There's a multitude of different species, and as a result, we're getting background noise from these other species that are enhancing the signal or decreasing the signal, depending on where you are. So, conclusion, a forest system is not like an agricultural system. You're dealing with a mixed species of random regeneration versus generally a monoculture system within the agricultural. So as a result, you're getting a lot of background reflectance and noise from the other forest vegetation, and this results in a plot indices or overall plot values from these indices that do not correlate with any of the aspen properties itself. So in order to potentially assess aspen alone, additional image analysis would need to be performed, such as an object-based image analysis potentially, to potentially tease out what is aspen and what is not aspen, and then from that value you may be able to actually assess regeneration in itself. And with that, I would just like to thank my funding sponsors, NSERC, the Government of Saskatchewan, and Weyerhaeuser itself for funding some of my research. So thank you very much. So that's one of the big things, is you need to probably factor in a temporal change as well, because again, everything is green in the forest, and so you'd probably have to detect the spectral signature, but especially in the fall, depending on the, again, aspens are all clones of each other as well, so certain ones will change at certain times versus others will stay greener longer, but probably in the fall you would definitely see the biggest difference between, one of them is a mountain maple that we have, and it'll be very, very yellow, or start to turn yellow earlier, versus a really dark green, which is generally the aspen.
How did the
Yep. Yeah, so again, prior to any of the vegetation grow up, we had set out, we actually used pail lids is what we used, and put a big X through them, so it just made a massive bullseye. And we chose white ones that we would stand out compared to the green vegetation. And so had set those out throughout the plots themselves, and then they stayed out, and then there was the same plot, or every time we flew, it would always be the same coordinate or ground control point. So that's another portion of my research that I didn't get into. But yeah, so we're also doing bulk density is another, and then I still have, when I get back, I have a ton of textural analysis to do and other chemical analysis to do as well, and the soils that correlate with these different plots that we measured as well.
So you have variability, soil variability in the area, or
not? It'll be very minute. The one area that we did have was kind of an anomaly where Most of it was kind of a loamy mixture, and the one spot we had was just pure sand, which was something out of the blue. So whether that factors into our regeneration values, we'll know eventually here.
I think most of your analysis is based on spectral analysis, and have you considered doing structural analysis, because you know, it is going to give you structural information, right?
Like for a 3D model? Yeah, so that's my next step, especially, is to do a little bit of the structural analysis portion. I haven't got, or haven't had time to really play around with my data yet and figure stuff out like that.
Well, Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.